Today's episode is brought to you by Omio. Omio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Omio saves you time and money. That's a win-win in our books. Omio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head to omio.com and use the code OMIO5 at checkout. Valid until July 31st for new users on all modes of transport. It's just the pick-me-up 2021 needs. Omio. Plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Stephen Bedard. In this episode, we're going to look at Clement of Alexandria, not to be confused with Clement of Rome, who we looked at back in episode 30. Clement's full name was Titus Flavius Clemens, and he was born around 150 and died around 215. He was a theologian that was based, surprise, surprise, in Alexandria. This is significant beyond just geography. Alexandria was the center of a certain kind of philosophical thought. We see that with the first century Jewish philosopher, Philo of Alexandria. We see it in Clement, and we will see it in Clement's student, Origen. Traditions for Clement's birthplace include both Alexandria and Athens. He was likely from a non-Christian, pagan family. Clement had an extensive knowledge of Greek religion and mystery religions in particular. As a young man, he began traveling in search of truth. Some of the people he may have encountered include Athenagoras of Athens, Tatian, and Theophilus of Caesarea. Eventually, Clement arrived in Alexandria and began to study under Pantaenus, and eventually succeeded Pantaenus as the head of the Alexandrian school. Clement was ordained to the priesthood by Pope Julian. During the persecution by the Emperor Septimius Severus at the beginning of the 3rd century, Clement was forced to flee Alexandria, most likely for Syria and Asia Minor. We don't have any details for his death. Clement was known for his liberal use of Greek philosophy. Clement was an apologist at heart, and he wanted to show that Christianity was a reasonable faith. He had no problem calling upon Plato for assistance. Historian Justo Gonzalez explains, quote, "He is convinced that there is only one truth, and that therefore any truth to be found in Plato can be no other than the truth that has been revealed in Jesus Christ and in Scriptures. According to him, philosophy has been given to the Greeks just as the law had been given to the Jews." Clement was not the only one to look to Greek philosophy as a tool for articulating Christian theology. This would be an ongoing theme, with some theologians embracing and others pushing against this trend. As with others of the Church Fathers, I'll share some excerpts from the writings. The first is from the Exhortation to Endurance, or To the Newly Baptized. Clement writes this: "Cultivate quietness in word, quietness in deed, likewise in speech and gait, and avoid impetuous eagerness. For then the mind will remain steady and will not be agitated by your eagerness, and so become weak and of narrow discernment, and see darkly, nor will it be worsted by gluttony, worsted by boiling rage, worsted by the other passions, lying a ready prey to them. For the mind seated on high, on a quiet throne, looking intently towards God, must control the passions. By no means be swept away by temper in bursts of anger, nor be sluggish in speaking, nor all nervousness in movement, so that your quickness may be adorned by good proportion, and your bearing may appear something divine and sacred. Guard also against the signs of arrogance, a haughty bearing, a lofty head, a dainty and high-treading footstep. And then from another writing, the Exhortation to the Heathen, Clement writes this: "And what if I go over the mysteries? I will not divulge them in mockery, as they say Alcibiades did, but I will expose right well by the word of truth the sorcery hidden in them, and those so-called gods of yours, whose are the mystic rites I shall display, as it were, on the stage of life, to the spectators of truth. The Bacchanals hold their orgies in honor of the frenzied Dionysus, celebrating their sacred frenzy by eating of raw flesh, and so through the distribution of the parts of butchered victims, crowned with snakes, shrieking out the name of that Eva, by whom error came into the world, the symbol of the Bacchic orgies, is a consecrated serpent. Moreover, according to the strict interpretation of the Hebrew term, the name Evia, aspirated, signifies a female serpent. Demeter and Proserpine have become the heroines of a mystic drama in their wanderings and seizure and grief. Eleusis celebrates by torchlight processions. I think the derivation of orgies and mysteries ought to be traced, the former to the wrath of Demeter against Zeus, the latter to the nefarious wickedness related to Dionysus. But if from Mysus or Attica, who Polydorus says was killed in hunting, no matter. I don't grudge your mysteries the glory of funeral honors. You may understand Mysteria in another way, as Mytheria, the letters of the two words being interchanged, for certainly fables of this sort hunt after the most barbarous of the Thracians, the most senseless of the Phrygians, and the superstitious among the Greeks. Perish, then, the man who was the author of this imposture among men. Be he Dardanus, who taught the mysteries of the mother of the gods, or Aeetion, who instituted the orgies and mysteries of the Samothracians, or the Phrygian Midas, who, having learned the cunning imposture from Odysseus, communicated it to his subjects. For I will never be persuaded by that Cyprian islander Cinrus, who dared to bring forth from night to the light of day the lewd orgies of Aphrodite in his eagerness to deify a strumpet of his own country. Others say that Melampus, the son of Amphitheon, imported the festivals of Ceres from Egypt into Greece, celebrating her grief in song. There I would instance as the prime authors of evil, the parents of impious fables and of deadly superstition, who sowed in human life that seed of evil and ruin, the mysteries." It was actually a letter by Clement of Alexandria that Morton Smith claimed to have discovered that included the secret gospel of Mark. We looked at that in episode 39. Clement of Alexandria is not the most well-known of the church fathers, but he was influential, especially in his role of building up the Alexandrian school. We will see how that works out in a future episode on Clement's student, Origen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The History of Christianity. Please visit me at historyofchristianitypodcast.com and consider supporting this podcast by going to patreon.com/hopesreason. Even $1 a month will really make a difference. You can also download a free audiobook with a free trial of Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/hopesreason. Again, that's audibletrial.com/hopesreason. Thank you, and God bless.